It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
All right, here we go. Hour number two of the Drive underway. It's Fan Run Radio. Russell Berry, Trey Cruz along with you. The Top 4 at 4 this afternoon brought to you by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. Schedule your smile consultation today online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Alex.
Number one, Atlanta Falcons offer the head coaching job to Tennessee Titans OC Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
Smith and the Titans had one of the top three offenses in the league this year.
I don't know. This is just weird. I mean, presumably he had his choice of maybe the Chargers and some other. It's a good spot. I mean, obviously he's got a quarterback there. If he wants to stick with Matt Ryan, who's, I believe, 35, 36, something like that, maybe has a couple of good years left if he wants to make a quick run at it. I think it's a good hire. I think it's a tough loss for the Titans, even despite his whatever that was Sunday against the Ravens. And as a Titans fan, I'm just curious to see what Mike Vrabel does, if he promotes from within or if he brings in a new guy. I wish him well, though, Arthur Smith. He's a good two-year run in Nashville.
Yeah. I have a lot of confidence in Vrabel, honestly, to make a good hire. I mean, he had LaFleur and then Arthur Smith, and they were both pretty good. So
yeah,
I'm not too worried.
Well.
Number two. Really early Joe Lunardi's bracketology has Tennessee as a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. The net rankings also have Tennessee at number 3 in the world of college basketball.
At number 3?
Number 3 in the net.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to try. I say this now. See how long I can hold out. I'm going to try to not freak out about the net rankings and the quad one wins and the bracketology and Jerry Palm and Joe Lunardi and all the things. I'm just going to try and enjoy the ride and enjoy it on a game-to-game basis and trust that if we win, if we don't have any bad losses, that it'll take care of itself. We'll have a good seed. And at that point, it's just up to the draw. And are you peaking at the right time? And who are you playing? Who do you draw? Is the team you're playing getting hot at the right time themselves or not? So that's how I'm approaching it now. You check back in March, and I'm sure I will be comparing Lunardi and Palm, going through the Sagarin ratings and everything else, trying to – it's not Sagarin for basketball. Who's the guy? You know, the guy with the adjusted efficiency.
Ken Palm.
Yeah, going through all that stuff and trying to figure out where we should be. But for right now – for right now, I'm trying to remain calm. Remain calm.
Number three, Urban Meyer officially the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. In his press conference today, Urban said he will be making health a priority in his tenure as the Jaguars head coach.
As opposed to his other jobs when he just stopped eating and consumed himself with football 24/7 to the point where he couldn't recognize his family anymore. Hey, I hope the guy, first of all, is healthy. I hope it doesn't kill him. But for a guy who's like always his last two jobs ended because he basically couldn't handle the stress, couldn't handle the pressure of big-time college football, it's not going to be any better in the NFL. It's going to be worse. It's going to be much worse. You're talking about the biggest sports league in the world.
What happened to his brain, sis?
Well, he did have surgery to remove it, didn't he? Like skull surgery, or am I making that up?
That sounds right, but I have no.
Does it come back or something? It just seems like, well, he had the brain cyst, the esophageal spasms or whatever. I mean, what's it going to be this time? I hope he's okay. I certainly don't wish ill on anyone, even though he is just has this knack of coaching teams I absolutely despise. We'll see.
All right, number four, the Queen Raven of the Tower of London's
the Queen Raven
Ravens has
I'm
left
free, I'm
and is
Raven.
Is presumed dead. They have apparently these ravens live at the Tower of London.
Okay,
they have a raven master who watches over them, which is a cool title.
The Queen, it's a cool title. I'm thinking it probably isn't that cool a job actually.
Probably not.
Like after the first week or so, it's like okay.
So, the Queen Raven has left and been gone for a few weeks. They're presuming that she has passed away.
Where'd she go? She just like flew away?
Yeah, she flew away. Apparently they leave and come back and kind of do their own thing, but they roost at the tower.
Okay.
There are now 7 ravens. A legend dating back to the 1600s says that if there are less than 6 ravens, the kingdom will crumble in the UK.
How many are there right now?
7.
So they're running low.
They're running low on ravens.
Is there anything they can do to breed more ravens?
Apparently they have a breeding program, but they have no plans in place to replace the queen raven as of this moment.
How do ravens... I'm an idiot, okay? Complete and total moron. It's a wonder I can tie my shoes. How do birds reproduce? Do they have sex? Like, they have...
I think so.
I know they lay eggs, obviously, but like...
They have to, because...
Can we get these birds in the mood or something? Is there something we could do to... Because I don't want the kingdom to crumble in England. It's a cool... They've been around forever, right? Is this a sign? Was Brexit a bad idea? The kingdom is crumbling now?
Supposedly. Only 2 more ravens left, and then they're done.
Ah. Ooh. All right, get the... Raven sex people on it immediately so that we can have more raven sex, more ravens, and the kingdom can stay around for a long, long time to come. A huge Anglophile, man. They've given us everything. I mean, you talk the Beatles, Monty Python, the English Premier League. It's all fantastic.
Oasis.
That's right.
Coldplay
sucks. Chris Martin looks like a damn geography teacher.
Watch your mouth.
Shut up, Trey.
Oh!
Watch your mouth.
Oh, wait, what happened? We were cruising along. It's so mean.
Spiraled quickly.
Is there anything you want to say? I mean, Bear, all you've been doing is blowing me up all day long about how 3 and Out wronged you this morning, how angry you are
at
them.
It wasn't just me. They compared the drive to Jeremy Pruitt. They said the drive was a Jeremy Pruitt.
Okay, well, go ahead and do your thing.
I don't think that much about him. I mean, you've been
texting me about it all day long.
I have not. I sent you a couple of texts this morning, and then that was it. I don't know. I mean, you've got, a drunkard who starts drinking at 9 a.m. with no musical taste in Davy Hudson. And then, Houston, he smells like hipster's beard oil and night crawlers.
He did not.
I mean,
he smells like worms.
How can I take these guys seriously? I mean, Kress sleeps with an open tie, with like bass lures.
What?
In his bed. You've heard the story.
How do you know how he sleeps?
Because he put it on social media. He told the story. But I woke up with some like,
oh yeah, he got a hook,
treble hook thing embedded in his leg or something.
He sleeps with his fishing lures.
Yeah, I mean, these guys, they're a strange bunch. And then,
go ahead and take a shot at Nate. Go ahead and take a shot at the boss, man. That's good luck.
He kind of oversees his crew of misfits. And by God, Alex, you will either swear your loyalty to the drive right now, or your days will be numbered. Are you with us or against us?
I'm with you. Here for the long haul.
Well, what's he going to say, Bear?
I can't truly
swear. Like, studio with Russell.
I don't like being here.
I can't swear off 3 and Out. I mean, that's where I got my start. But
sure you can. Swear him off.
Davey helps me out too much.
Huh.
What do you think about that, Bear?
Pardon me?
Davey's taught me everything I know.
Yeah, he taught you real well. You started our show with the Rocky Top Report.
That is a fair point.
That's true.
And now, according to Crankmate Kress, he just texted me that you're dead to him now. You wouldn't.
I see that.
We don't forsake people like that.
Okay, so they've forsaken you. Are you ready to forsake them now? I mean, you might as well go all in at this point.
I might as well.
We'll have to put the brand on him after the show.
You got to get the tattoo.
We'll build – somebody send Tucker out there to build a fire so we can brand him.
I do already have a lot of tattoos. I could add that to the repertoire.
And put the big D right on his right butt
cheek. Drive on your neck.
We've all got one. It's all good. All right, that it is sucks. Your Rocky. No, it's not the Rocky. So what was that? That was the top four.
Top four,
ladies and gentlemen. Trained radio professional at work. Do not try this at home. Top 4-4 brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles. Knoxville Smiles, they know everyone's got a big to-do list these days. With a busy schedule, it can be easy to forget about yourself. But you shouldn't be so busy that you neglect your own dental health. Folks, schedule a quick and easy checkup today with Knoxville Smiles. You can set up a new patient consultation online at Knoxville Smiles or just call 865-539-1776. That's 539-1776 for Knoxville Smiles. And as always, online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Let's get right back to the busy, busy phone lines. Christopher Gabriel of ESPN Fresno coming up towards the bottom of the hour. He's a fantastic guest. A lot of people have been asking when's he going to be back on here in about 13 minutes. Stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we continue with your phone calls. Tony is next. Hello, Tony.
Hey, my guys. How we doing today?
Hey, doing well. Thank you.
It's hard to kind of go before Mr. Gabriel because that's like that's the treat of the week.
Well, you got to – I mean, every headliner needs a good opening act. This is your moment, Tony.
Hey, well, then I'll be quick. I only have two things. The first one is I want to thank you guys for giving Coach Vitello a platform just because it gets overlooked, but SEC baseball – is about as dominant as SEC football. And I know you guys talked about the football recruiting misses yesterday, but Knox area baseball is just as elite. And the SEC dominates baseball. And there's no reason we can't do it too. So, I mean, you guys are doing the Lord's work by giving him a little bit of a platform to speak.
Well, thanks, Tony. I appreciate it. I will not pretend to be like some huge college baseball expert or even that big of a college baseball fan, quite frankly. But Tony Vitello is just a great radio guest, and we like talking to him. Even in the midst of a football frenzy, meltdown, whatever this is. So, yeah, it was fun to talk to him, and I do think he's a good coach. I do think he's going to win at a high level. We need to keep him happy and because I think they're going to have a very good season this year.
I totally agree. And I guess the second thing is more of a question for Trey, if he's still on the line. I haven't heard him in a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not dead. We're good.
You know, you've got, I would say, unfairly criticized for putting your nose to the grindstone. I don't know if you're a Tyler Childers fan or not, but for just telling
good reference.
And doing your job just extremely well. And you said earlier that the flight to see Hank T was scheduled on Monday. So I have to assume that you're pretty often if not constantly told to wait and hold on releasing information that can hurt UT or just anything that just says, hey, Trey, hold on a second. So I guess my question is, do you talk to your friends who cover other big programs just about your work life? Like, do they get told to hold off on bad PR as often as you do? Because the difficulty of your job is not on your shoulders. Like, you're doing a hard job, not because of what's required of you, but because of who you cover. So I guess it's not your fault that your job is difficult. And I'm just interested, like, I know you talk to guys who cover Georgia and Alabama. Like, do you talk to them? I mean, how much is the difficulty of your job based off of who you cover? And it just all goes back to they shouldn't be telling you to hold off as often as they probably do because that's on them. And I just wanted to hear your answer, man.
And stay on the line, and I'll answer the question. It's not. So when I say that it was planned, you know what I mean? Like, they were going to fly out to California either way of how stuff went this week because they knew that Henry Toa Toa had been wavering back and forth. And the seriousness of it is kind of what I talked about earlier, where you could easily just pick up the phone or get on a Zoom or a FaceTime and say, hey, look, I'm coming back. I'm going to be your coach. We look forward to seeing you here on Sunday. You know, when all the other team reports back, I don't think it's not really holding out information. It's more or less, to be honest with you, making sure that they get on a flight. I mean, why report something on Wednesday that I don't know for a fact that they're actually going to do on Friday? And Austin Price was on it, you know, and that's a hat tip to him. But you know, for the stuff that you were talking about, you know, not Tennessee not wanting to get out. Look, no, I'm sure Tennessee did not want to get out, that there was an internal investigation going on concerning their 2019 Recruiter of the Year, their head coach, their recruiting staff, and certain potential athletes at the university. But my counterpoint to that has been, and Russell has kind of been on the know on this whole thing, is that if I wouldn't have put that story out, and this is just plainly how it is, if I don't put that story out on Saturday of that game day, I know two other reporters who also were tipped off on things, and they would have put that story out by Saturday night. So my big thing is, why am I going to get scooped on something that I've been working for a month on just to have it erased by somebody else coming in and not knowing the full scope of what was going on? I mean, none of it's fun. Okay. It's not fun. It's just facts. And yeah, Tennessee is a little agitated with how that went out, but you know what? That story was going to either come out that Saturday, that Monday, or that next Wednesday, because you weren't hiding the fact that Eric Gray and Brian Maurer were kept out of that game because they were technically ineligible at that time. And I just, you know, it is. And the only thing that we have reported at this time is that there's an internal investigation. I have not once reported Jeremy Pruitt is going to be fired. I have not once reported that, you know, Niedermeyer is going to get fired. I'm reporting on who's involved in this investigation. And it centers around Brian Niedermeyer and Jeremy Pruitt and the recruiting staff at Tennessee. So people really, really, really like to make it out that I'm reporting something different and they get pissed off at it. Well, how would you feel if all of a sudden this week news just drops out of nowhere that Tennessee's been doing an investigation for the last 2 months and has gotten the NCAA involved, which was reported by John Bryce yesterday, and they were on the call? I think Russ would agree with me on that.
Hey, I just want to say real quick, and then we got to move along, Tony. In the lead of the story, the first story, Trey, that broke the thing open, you said that Tennessee's being investigated by its own compliance department and the NCAA. And a lot of people made a big deal. Oh, the NCAA's not involved. The NCAA. And Bryce basically said that they were involved today. And, you know, UT had every opportunity to refute that. They have not refuted that the NCAA has been involved. Now,
at all.
I don't think the NCAA is like that it's technically an investigation, but they have been in contact, which is, I guess that's, I'm not an expert here, but kind of the compliance department's job is to work in tandem to a degree with the NCAA. So that's going to be an interesting facet of all this. Once Glazier and those guys' report is done and filed or whatever, and you've done whatever you've done with Jeremy Pruitt, whether you fired him, keep him, eventually you're going to have to submit your findings to the NCAA. And are they going to be okay, self-impose, we're going to add a slap on the wrist, or we're going to hammer you? I don't know. And it depends on what this report finds, and we should be finding out soon. Tony, thank you, man. Appreciate the phone call.
Hey, thank you, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Let's get one more in here, and then we've got Christopher Gabriel coming up in a moment.
This would be Lars.
Lars is next. Hello, Lars.
What up?
What's up?
What up, Russell?
Hey,
what
how you
up
doing?
There? Man, the University of Tennessee, we must have killed all of our Ravens a long time ago.
The kingdom is crumbling, Lars.
Kingdom is crumbled. We murdered all the Ravens.
Oh, man. Not enough Raven sex about 20 years ago in Knoxville.
I would send them out to the 50-yard line of Neyland. What up? But, okay. Trey, this last guy kind of talked about it. Maybe I'm just slow. I'm confused. It felt like earlier you were trying to lead everyone to something, and it was never picked up, what you were putting down. The fact that they're flying out to California obviously there's a sense of urgency there. Does that just speak to the severity of that situation, or, you know, like, is Mike Leach waiting by the water? What's going on out there? Or is that just a recruiting trip? Is that all that is, to go out and say, hey, son, come home? Is that all that is?
I guess what I'm really getting down to is we have to think logically on this. And logically would be, in a sense, if Jeremy Pruitt knew he was coming back as head coach as of this morning, why would you waste over $20,000 to fly out there and to tell the guy, hey, I'm coming back and I look forward to coaching you next year?
Well, you wouldn't, because the point is he wouldn't be looking around.
Right, exactly. Huh. Exactly.
All right.
And also, I'll add to that. Who was not reported to be on that plane to California, and who was Henry Toa Toa's lead recruiter when he signed with Tennessee?
I'm guessing Niedermeyer, right?
I think Niedermeyer. I think Niedermeyer being fired is rather perfunctory at this point.
Yeah,
but I also think that with a player of his importance and caliber, they aren't going to leave anything to a phone call. They're going to get in front of him face to face, even if Pruitt thought he was coming back. I don't read as much into that as you are.
Somebody said it earlier. Could be recruiting for somebody else. Henry, you look great in crimson, son.
You think he just pulls him aside, like, while Steele and Ansley are in the other room? He's like, hey, Henry, just in case this thing goes sideways, you come play for me and Nick down at Alabama. We'd love to have you. You'd look really good in crimson.
They reportedly broke so many other damn rules. Just go out there and visit a couple 22s and get them signed up.
Allegedly. Not reportedly, Trey.
No, allegedly. Yes. Yeah.
Get that man a burner phone and a bag of cash and let's go. But, no, I'll wrap it up here because there are more sexy people to get to. But my biggest thing is let's voice of reason. Use common sense based on life experience. If we can't get the hire right this year, if Pruitt does end up getting the boot, which may or may not, let's go back and let's do correctly what we didn't do correctly when we hired Derek Dooley, even if it's painful, even if we have to wait it out just a little bit. And then you can throw it at Philip Fulmer. Hey, Phil, we love you. You did the best that you could. We're going to have Philip Fulmer Day Part 2. You can't make the next hire. Goodbye. And then you hit the reset button. That's my highest hope at this point, because I don't have any high expectations.
I mean, the problem with that is that who we have lined up to be the interim is not in the same zip code as what we had lined up back when Dooley got hired.
Yeah, I mean, you could put somebody like
Oh, wait a minute. You think – come on. Kevin Steele and Kippy Brown are very comparable. I mean, neither has – Kevin Steele
was
more,
already here. Kevin Steele.
He had been here for like 2 months.
Kevin Steele hadn't been here in almost 20 years, dude.
But he's been in the league.
And it is a weird, I mean, it's a weird thing that he's just there. I mean, it would kind of make sense. Like, hey, you know, Kevin, congratulations. This is yours.
I think Kevin Steele would actually be a safer interim coach than Kippy Brown would have been back then. But
definitely,
we can unpack that a little bit more coming up. Lars, thanks. Great to hear from you, buddy.
Yep. Let Bear speak. Let Bear speak.
No. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Back with Christopher Gabriel of 940 ESPN right after this.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Wilson Barrett, Trey back with you. Pleased to be joined now by, he's like the most requested guest we've had in years, man. Every time we have him on, my social media just blows up. It's like, when are you getting him on again? It's Christopher Gabriel, the CG program, 940 ESPN in Fresno. Christopher, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Russell, Trey Bear, good afternoon. Happy New Year to you. Yeah, I heard you say that, and I've seen that online. And I mean, I'm really touched. I'm flattered. I mean, it's great talking to you guys on your show. I love your show, obviously. Love talking to the great folks in God's country in East Tennessee. And I'm not gonna include Alabama in that. I've seen, you know, a lot of your folks have followed me on Twitter, and I followed a bunch back, and it's a thrill to be on with you boys.
Well, it's great to have you. Now, it's interesting that we have you on today because Jeremy Pruitt and company headed your way this afternoon. They're headed out to the – now, give me – I am very ignorant when it comes to California. I just think I've been there once or twice just stopping over on an airplane. But give me a geography. Like, is Fresno where you are – is that NorCal or SoCal?
It's kind of the middle. And we are the area that we're in is the Central Valley. So we are, to give you maybe a better idea, where we sit, we're 30 miles from the Sierra Nevada range, you know, 10, 12, 13,000-foot mountains. We're 3 hours, or about 170 miles from San Francisco, 150 miles from Monterey and Carmel, which is better known for Pebble Beach. And then we are 240 miles north of Los Angeles. So the people in Fresno who don't like Fresno will say, well, the best thing about Fresno is that you can get out and go places. But the reality is we're kind of right in the middle, but the area here, it's 1.1 million people where we're at in terms of the metropolitan area. So we're considered the Central Valley, or the north, kind of the north end of the valley here.
Okay, and Pruitt and those guys, they're the Bay Area. You said that's an hour or two west of where you got. I'm looking at it now. Yeah, I see it. Okay.
Yeah, they're going about 3 hours from us. They're going to one of the real rough spots right now in California relative to COVID. You know, Santa Clara County. You know, all the problems that Stanford had getting games in, and now the San Jose Sharks, they have to play 12 of their first 14 games on the road. So they're going to a rough area, but a beautiful area.
Christopher Gabriel, 940 ESPN, Fresno, with us this afternoon. And Christopher, it's been almost a month now since Trey broke the news about the internal investigation into Jeremy Pruitt's program here at UT. A month. Are you surprised that the probe has taken this long, or do you think that's just indicative of the fact that what they're looking at, what they're finding, might be pretty substantial?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both, and I had a feeling you were going to ask me that, and I do think it's a little bit of both. I think the holidays probably slowed things down just a little bit, but I also think that, you know, I don't want to go conspiracy theory here, but I do think that they are looking under every rock, every stapler, every computer to see what there is to see. I mean, I think we all understand that these kinds of investigations tend to move a little more swiftly than this one, unless they don't really want to find something. But my gut tells me that something smells in the state of Denmark here. Something just isn't right. And I'm wondering if that's why it's taking just a little bit longer.
Christopher Gabriel with us at CG Program. And it's been, you know, you've got a Tennessee fan base that is really tearing itself apart over this, about whether or not he's going to stay, whether or not he's going to go, what should happen. As you follow this from afar, and give us the 10,000-foot view here, Christopher, where do you see this? First of all, what do you think is going to happen, and what do you think should happen? I know those are often two different things.
Well, I'm glad you asked me that, and follow me for a moment here. And I'm going to start my answer by going to a tweet that you put out, Russell, a tweet that I completely agree with. You said, and I'm not sure if this is verbatim, but you said a competent coach should be able to recruit well in state. Is that close? That's close to what you said.
Yes.
Okay. I agree with that, but I'm going to add something to that. A competent coach should be able to recruit well in state to a competent program. And right now, this is not a competent program, Russell.
Yeah.
I mean, in the 2000s, what have we had on the Hill? Five ADs, seven, eight, nine full-time interim coaches, different heads of the university. Let me ask you this. Let me turn this around to you boys. What program in the SEC do you think Tennessee should be more like? Let's just leave Alabama out of it for right now, because they're getting ready to join the NFC South. Would you say that the program should be more like, I don't know, Florida? Or should it be more like Kentucky? And I'm asking you that sincerely. Which one should they be more like?
Well, I mean, Kentucky is better than they historically have been. Of course, we're all going to say Florida. I think, Georgia is a more reasonable thing. And
right. If
you want to go outside the league, and we talk about this often here, Christopher, Clemson, really, I know they've won more national they've been more successful lately than Tennessee was back in the 90s or whatever. But really, I mean, those two programs have basically switched places. And there have been so many players from the Volunteer State who've gone to Clemson because, as you said, our program has been incompetent. Why would you come here the past couple of years? If they could just if they could fix that, they could. I think you would see Clemson take a big step back as Tennessee takes a big step forward.
Well, you're right. Here's why I asked that. 2009, first year, we all understand this, was the first year after the Phil Fulmer era. So it's a 12-year period. In those 12 years, gentlemen and everybody listening, in those 12 years, Georgia has won 16. You mentioned Georgia. I agree with you. Georgia has won 116 games. Florida has won 102 games. Tennessee has won 73 games, and Kentucky has won 69 games. So the fans, you hit the fans. The fan base right now is kind of fighting amongst themselves. You have the pro-Pruitt side. We got to keep him. We haven't given him long enough. Gosh darn it, we need to give him more time. And you have the other side saying, no, he's had long enough. If you go back to 1990, that was the Sugar Bowl year, Johnny Majors, and up to 2001, that's a 12-year period. I just picked it randomly. The Vols won 118 games. And if you go in any 12-year period from Johnny up through Phil Fulmer, you get somewhere in the 113 to 120 range. That, to me, is the Tennessee football range. But the problem right now is Tennessee football is more the last 3 years. In the last 3 years, Florida's won 29 games. Georgia's won 31. Kentucky's won 23. How many has Tennessee won? 16.
Oh.
So for the fans who are on the pro-Pruitt side, a couple of thoughts, fellas. Number one, I'm tired of reading fans, and every fan base does this. Every fan base wants to just kind of, destroy themselves. Fans saying, if you're not supporting Jeremy Pruitt right now, you're not a real Tennessee fan. That's just garbage. That's ridiculous. If a fan has a different idea about where the program should be, then that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I've got a good friend who hangs out down in Georgia with the Fortune 500 business coaches, the folks that advise Fortune 500 companies. And he told me something, and this is directly applicable to what's going on right now with Jeremy Pruitt. He said the motto that he tells Fortune 500 companies, fire fast, hire slow. The reason is when you've made a mistake, you don't need to jerk around for two more years just to make it look good for everybody in the company. If you made a mistake, admit it and move on. The Vols, and I was all on board for Jeremy Pruitt. The Vols, in my view, have made a mistake. They have made a mistake, and they need to correct it. But instead, it seems as though Philip Fulmer wants to, he's our guy. We're gonna wait. No, you need to make a change. Here's the other problem that I have right now with what's going on with Tennessee football, and it is Philip Fulmer. And I know that there's a lot of folks that are in the Philip Fulmer camp, and if you say something negative about Philip Fulmer, well, you're going straight to hell. Here's the thing about Philip Fulmer, and I've met him once, a great man. We can go through all of that. Nice man. He's a wonderful guy and everything. In my view, and I can't say this emphatically enough, Philip Fulmer doesn't want to hire anybody that makes him look a little less. In other words, he wants to go for the convenient, simplistic hire, somebody that's not going to have a brighter light than him. Why do I say that? And you know what? Anybody who is in the Fulmer camp, you're out of your mind. Hey, you know what? Everybody has their opinion. The reason I say that is because look at who he passed on when the whole Schiano, thank goodness Schiano didn't come to the Hill, but look at who some of the names out there that he passed on that he wouldn't even give an interview with because he went after somebody who was a defensive guy. Fulmer's a defensive guy. He was an offensive guy, but he turned into more of a defensive guy. He turned into a guy that sounds like him, a guy that comes from the same part of the country. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but the fact is, Jeremy Pruitt is not going to shine brighter than Philip Fulmer. And not that Mike Leach would have been the answer. I don't know if he would have or wouldn't have, but I think we understand the guy that's going to win the press conference between Mike Leach and Philip Fulmer is Mike Leach. The guy who's going to win the press conference between Lane Kiffin and Philip Fulmer is Lane Kiffin. How many guys do we have to go down and say that about? So that's my issue with Philip Fulmer. I would love if Jeremy Pruitt is let go. And listen, I say this on my program all the time. We've all been fired in radio. It's no fun. It is no fun getting in the unemployment line. I mean, you know, especially in California. But if Jeremy Pruitt is let go, then who are the names that Philip Fulmer is going to look at? I heard a commercial before I came on for Tusculum. Does Tusculum have a football team? Because if they do, they'll probably go after a coach that nobody's ever heard of from Tusculum. There's names that they can go after, but this brings me back to the beginning, fellas. And that is this a competent program that a great coach or a name coach would even consider interviewing? I understand that Matt Campbell is happy and all set at Iowa State up in Ames, but would Matt Campbell, would he look at Tennessee now versus the 90s or early 2000s and say, I want to go there? Think about that. A guy in Ames, Iowa.
Christopher, yeah, no, and I love Campbell. I think he's the real deal, man. I don't think he would take this job, and it's been reported in several instances. And I don't, Billy Napier at Louisiana Lafayette is thought to be a guy that Tennessee would like to look at, but it's been reported in circles, and I'm sure this is coming from his camp, from his agent, that he doesn't want the Tennessee job, that he's holding out for Florida or LSU or something like that. Christopher, think about where Tennessee is right now. We can't hire Louisiana Lafayette's coach. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? Man. Louisiana Lafayette. He doesn't want to. I don't get it. I mean, it's set. Trey, jump in here. You got Christopher Gabriel, 940 ESPN in Fresno.
My brother, it's so good to talk to you and have you on with us. But my question is concerning the fan base, and you know this fan base. So if they were to bring back Jeremy Pruitt, which, look, he's the head coach right now, and you're trying to plan for a spring and winter conditioning and trying to market the 2021 season, it's going to be a real simple question. How do you get people back in the boat? How do you get people to buy into this football program? Because I think people are done with the whole, okay, I'm going to jump into the 8 feet water, and I'm going to hope that it works out. People are just – there's so much apathy around the program, and that's why I loved having you on and talking about this. How do you bring this back? Is it salvageable? Because what you're really doing is, and how it feels like to me is, you're pulling a Les Miles from LSU, where you bring him back for that final year, and then three games into the season, he's done. Tell me, Christopher, can they market this thing the right way? What is your opinion?
Well, they can. But you make great points, and Russell made a great point about Louisiana Lafayette. I mean, I'm chuckling because I'm so ticked off about this, and it's so frustrating. And to get to your question, let me just throw one more thing in this. When I read comments from some of the media down in Knoxville about, well, you know that buyout, that 12-point, just stop with the $12.8 million. I said this to you guys on my program, and you've said it as well. We all understand when a university and their donors want a guy out, magically that money appears in a basket with a blanket on a doorstep. Everybody gets that. So let's just put that out the damn window. The money for a buyout will not be the issue. To your point and your question, Trey, it's a little bit like James Harden going to the Brooklyn Nets. I'm not a fan of that move, and I'm going to roll this into Tennessee. I'm not a fan of guys saying, I don't like this sandbox anymore. Yeah, I signed a contract, but I want to go play with those guys now. Anything less than an NBA championship for the Nets is going to be a fail. And right now, if Jeremy Pruitt comes back to the Vols and they go 3-9 next year, 5-7, 6-6, if they go 7-5, it's a fail. It's a fail. He has gone 5-7, 8-5. Nice year. You know, they ended the year nicely, and then 3-7 again this year. I understand COVID. There were issues, but you know what? The whole nation all 130 teams in FBS dealt with the same things in different ways. The way this school, this university is going to have to market the program, I'm afraid is, the only thing I can say here, Trey, is I think they need to clean house. And, you know, I don't think they're going to do that. But if you want the folks to jump back in the boat, to use your metaphor, if you want folks to get back in the boat and maybe bring their own oars with them and say, you know what, I'm jumping in, I'm going to bring my own oar, and it's got cash on it because we're going to buy tickets. I'm going to renew. I am in, and I'm going to go to the bookshop on Cumberland, or the store, and I'm going to buy merchandise. I am ready to go. The only way they're going to do that, the fan base, and this is a great fan base, is to have something to hang their hat on, to have a guy or a staff that they can believe in. And right now, they don't buy Jeremy Pruitt. For better or for worse, they don't buy Jeremy Pruitt, and I think a lot of folks aren't buying the leadership. Somebody said to me in an email, who heard me on your show last time, yeah, but you know, Philip Fulmer is doing so many other great things in the athletic department. We're not talking about the weeklies in softball. We're not talking about what baseball jerseys the baseball team's going to wear this year. We're not talking about volleyball. We're not talking about any of that. We're talking about football. We're talking about the economic driver for the entire university, the program that not only drives everybody's ability to do things in terms of financial latitude, but also the program that builds buildings, or you know, is able to give a little money to the law school, give a little money to engineering, and so on. And right now, Trey and Russell and Bear, remember, I got Bear in this time. I know that he was upset last time that we didn't mention it, so I'm going to make sure that I mention Bear. If they don't do something that says, here's the direction we're going, you're going to have problems getting folks back in the boat, Trey. You really are.
Yeah, I know, and that's the problem. We've got about 4 minutes left in this thing, Christopher. And I guess the big question to me is, why can't, and this is just, I want your opinion on it because I have many different, why can't the University of Tennessee sack up and say we want to be a legitimate school, that we want to have a legitimate football program, that we're tired of dealing with folks like Derek Dooley and Butch Jones and bringing in a defensive coordinator who was, what, third or fourth on the list? When is the University of Tennessee going to say, you know what, screw it, man, we'll pay you $8 million to be our coach, but you damn well better get our program back on track. Tennessee fans have been embarrassed over the last 9-10 months. And you take away that win streak they had last year, you open the season with losses against Georgia State and BYU. Tennessee fans are just upset, and they're mad. When do they finally do it, Christopher? What's it going to take for them to say, screw it, let's go play big boy football now?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, and that is, it's time to sack up. It's time to do that. I'm going to give you three schools that I think understood that they had to do that. I mentioned Oklahoma last time I was on your show. They went through three or four coaches, over a 10-year period. They were 5 games over .500, and they sacked up and went out and got Bob Stoops. Bob Stoops said, I don't know that I'm the offensive guy. Let me go get somebody to run the offense. He got Mike Leach. Oklahoma has never looked back. Doesn't matter that they've won one national championship in all those years. They have been a major player, a marquee headliner since then. USC went 18 years, five coaches, and they were not getting to the point where they needed to. They went out and they got Pete Carroll. The fan base said, this isn't going to work. Folks that knew football understood Pete Carroll was the guy they needed. He turned that whole program around. After Spurrier was done in 2001, they had, down in Gainesville, 3 years of Ron Zook, which everybody in Knoxville and everywhere else, we loved it, right? 8-5, 8-5, 7-5. But then they sacked up, and they said, we need to go do something. And they stepped out on a limb, and they went out to Salt Lake City, and they said, Urban Meyer, would you come our way? And all the folks, everybody in the Southeastern Conference laughing, his offense is not going to work. Yeah, 9-3, 13 wins, 9 wins, 13-13, 8, couple of national championships. They need to do exactly what you said, Trey, and that is, it's time to change pants, put on the big boy pants, the big boy belt, get a nice pair of shoes, and go out and spend some money. You're going to have to suck it up and spend some money and go out and basically revitalize, you know, do what they do on the Property Brothers or HGTV shows, and that is rip it down and build it up.
Christopher Gabriel, ladies and gentlemen, bringing the noise this afternoon on The Drive. Go follow him on Twitter, at CG Program. You could check out his show on 940ESPNFresno.com. He's going to be starting. He does Afternoon Drive as well. He gets started a little later. What do you got, about an hour, 10 minutes or something like that, Christopher?
Fridays, we do a morning show. I mean, but otherwise, it's normally six to nine your time, and then I get to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning on Friday.
Forget that. All right, Christopher, have a great weekend. We appreciate your passion, your enthusiasm, brother. Thanks for jumping on.
It's always my pleasure. Appreciate it, and all the best to the great folks out in East Tennessee.
Christopher Gabriel on the G3 Help Me Hotline. If your loved one's injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. G3HelpMe.com is the website. The phone number, 865-558-8030. Let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. That's G3HelpMe.com. Quick timeout. The Drive continues. Back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Does your... Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Wow. Smoke a cigarette after Christopher Gabriel comes off the show. I mean, good night. Bear, Christopher Gabriel, 940 ESPN, your thoughts. What did you learn?
Guy's passionate, Russell.
Brings the noise. You don't even have to ask him a question. You're just like, CG, go. And he brings it. He absolutely brought it. That was unbelievable. That's why we love having him on the show. We want to get Jamie's phone call in here. He's been hanging forever. Jamie, good afternoon, sir. You're on The Drive.
Guys, I know we're up again, so I'll wait till Monday to throw out your JG and Josh Dobbs stats. You'll be shocked.
Jamie's going to die on that hill. I love it.
You know, JG has better teeth. JG has a better TD to interception ratio than O'Dobbs.
Stop. Just stop, dude. Just take the L. Take the L and move on, Jamie.
I'm sorry, guys. I thought we were working with facts. My bad. We'll get back with it on Monday. Guys, if Tennessee won't hire Freeze, they're definitely not going to hire Browse to be our offensive coordinator. What are we doing here? I mean, we're not
probably
serious.
Not, I mean, Jamie. I think it's different when you're talking about hiring him for a coordinator role, and it's the son. And I mean, I think you can't just say with just about any scandal, the Sandusky thing maybe being one of the very few exceptions. I don't think you just say, well, we'd never hire anybody who's associated with that. Like, really, you wouldn't hire like a secretary who happened to work at Baylor. You wouldn't. I know his last name is Briles. He's had several other jobs. He's, by all accounts, been a fine coach and hasn't had any problems. I'm not saying I would hire him or wouldn't. I'm just saying I wouldn't dismiss it out of hand.
No, I wouldn't either. But, it's funny you mentioned Shiano. It's funny. They wanted to hire him as head coach, but not Hugh Freeze. Isn't that funny? selective outrage there, but – Yeah, the whole interim coach for no reason to, there's absolutely no reason to do it. And if they did it, it would it'd be the same as them keeping Pruitt for me. There's no commitment to winning. To give up on that class next year, there's no excuse for that in my book. But something tells me, fellas, that they, given what I was talking about the other day about not even bothering to let him know about running through the team, I bet you there's a good chance they'd have no idea what the class coming up next year is going to look like. What do you think?
I'm sorry. I don't follow.
We're sitting here thinking we do need a head coach in place, and you're toying with the idea of an interim. And that pretty much goes ahead and sacrifices that big class coming in. It wouldn't surprise me to find out that, if somebody if they introduced Steele as the interim coach and one of the Knoxville beat writers was like, well, what do you think about the big class in state in 2021? I wouldn't be surprised if Fulmer was like, huh? Who?
No, they
that
know. They know.
Do you think so?
Yeah, they know how important it is. And I mean, Fulmer's very involved in all this stuff. He knows who they're recruiting and what the plan is and all that stuff. Not saying he's doing well, but he's at least
speaking of the 2021 class, and I'll get out of the way. I know we're against the top. you know, we're talking about maybe having an interim coach having to sell these guys rather than having a coach in place with 1 year at least to show them, like, if we can go 500 or better, to be like, okay, you see what we're trying to build here. Please come here. Rather than an interim going in there and saying, hey, we have no idea who your coach is going to be. Don't go to Ohio State and play in the playoff. You know, don't play in Clemson. I mean,
I don't think that would be really the sales pitch, but granted, it would be difficult, whatever it is. Jamie, thank you, man. Appreciate the phone call. I can't wait to hear your defense of the Jarrett Guarantano over Josh Dobbs take. Whew. Hour number three of The Drive coming up. Stay with us.